Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. A delightful day, wherever you might be, I hope. We have a fabulous guest today. We're going to be dipping into the coaching pool today, talk to a coach. You know, we talk to a lot of coaches on these broadcasts, and there are lots of different coaches out there who can help you in many different ways. Today, we're going to focus on a healthcare leadership coach who works with teams. And I think you're going to find it very, very interesting indeed. Teams, you know, people are an organization's most important asset. There's no question about that. And investing in your team's personal and professional development helps you and your people become much more agile and versatile. We all know that. Leadership coaching is one of the tools that help your team's value to rapidly appreciate. But when it comes to healthcare teams, coaching becomes a whole different ballgame. Healthcare practitioners, as you know, are trained to work independently. They think independently. They make decisions independently. So the question is, how do you develop a healthcare team to be united and unified and interact in a way that supports culture under the independent thinkers and doers who are off handling the day-to-day challenges on their own? That's one of the big questions we're going to be talking about today. Our guest, Judy Cirillo, is a leadership healthcare coach. Healthcare leadership coach. And she's a founder of Grow Strong Teams. And she sets out to definitively answer some of these questions. Grow Strong Teams helps healthcare leaders and their teams develop a sustainable culture to support reaching all the goals within their clinic or within the practice in which they work, both company-focused and team-driven goals. As Judy put it, trust is the basic foundation for a functional team. You build trust through the relationships that you have, connection, listening to understand, sharing perspective, telling the truth, and authenticity. Unfortunately, Judy points out that healthcare leaders inadvertently contribute to the daily stress that their own people experience. And often this leads to distrust, and it impedes the connections and relationships that support their collaboration. That's a quality that's very critical to the success of a healthcare team. As a really seasoned clinician, healthcare clinician, Judy's sweet spot is helping healthcare leaders build cohesive teams. So we're going to be talking that with her today. She has a fabulous website, a lot of great information. Let me point out that prior to launching Grow Strong Teams, she practiced physical therapy for more than 40 years, owning and operating four practices in four different states. She sold her practice several years ago to pursue professional coaching full-time, and as she puts it, she hasn't looked back since. So it's a delight to have her with us. She's out in Scottsdale, Arizona, one of the most beautiful places in the country, where it's always a beautiful day, except today a little cloudy. Judy told me that. Anyway, Judy Cirillo, nice to have you with us today. How are you, my dear? It's a pleasure to welcome you to our microphones. How's it going?
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and honor to be with you, Doug.
Well, it's an honor to have you with us. And I say us because I'm talking about our audience who could be anywhere all around the world listening to us. Everybody learns from these kinds of shows that we do. I've talked to a lot of different coaches, but I'll be honest with you. I don't think I have ever spoken with a healthcare leadership coach, one who works with teams. So let's get into that and this whole subject and find out how you really got, you know, the bug to do this and become a coach full time and stop doing physical rehabilitation. Talk to me. What's your story? Why did you start this practice?
Well, you know, as a healthcare professional and clinician, business owner for 40 years, we're trained to be independent thinkers. We're trained to do things on our own. We're trained to work maybe in parallel with other people, but not as a team. And as a business owner, we're not trained at all, or have any education on leadership and developing people's and our team. We're trained to take care of patients, right? So one of the frustrating elements that occurs for healthcare leaders and their team is, how do you develop people? How do you take care of your most important asset? And how do you run the business at the same time you're trying to take care of patients and all the operations? So that was very frustrating. Staff retention, staff recruitment, developing people, growing people, we're not trained in that. And that was one of the biggest problems that I had on my teams and my business. I didn't know how to do that. And I know that my colleagues in healthcare, whether it's dentistry, rehab, medical, anybody in general who deals with people, will have this same problem. So my focus, laser focus, was to identify those particular areas and go after them and help develop a system and a framework for those of us who have been or are in healthcare. How do you take care of your team? How do you grow your team? That's your most important asset. So that's where I drove myself to doing, because people need that kind of help and service.
So let me ask you, the ones you primarily work with and focus your talents on helping, could this be a typical doctor's office, you know, where they have a team of nurses and a doctor, they're healthcare providers? Would it be dental offices? Or are you talking about maybe larger teams, like in a hospital setting and things of that nature? How would you answer
that? That is a great question. Yeah, small to medium predominantly, because usually larger organizations have their own internal coach. And
right.
So and my forte is really helping small to medium teams, because they're the ones that struggle so much. They don't have the resources in order to identify the infrastructure and the systems that are missing in order to support the team development.
So this is a really interesting situation. How do you get involved with a medical practice? I know I'm talking about, it could be any kind of healthcare practice.
Yes.
A doctor, could be teams of doctors, could be a team of spine specialists who have a number of nurses running around and doing things. Or it could be several dentists involved in a pretty large practice, that kind of thing. But do they come to you and ask for help? Do they realize that they don't have great teamwork, in their facility, and things could be better if they knew how to do it better, or what? How do you get involved?
It's interesting. How you get involved predominantly is to help people just recognize what their stressors and frustrations are. Many times, those of us in healthcare have no clue that we could benefit from a coach. We are trained to be independent thinkers. We are trained to be independent, so we don't think we need a coach. We're trained to have the answers, all the right answers, because we have to address patient problems, the diagnosis, the treatment plan. So we were stressed and even burnt out, but we don't even know where to look. We don't even know that particular problem. So it really starts from educating people and helping them to step back out of the weeds, if you will, and say, gosh, why am I feeling this way? What's happening? And I don't want to feel this way anymore. So how do I reach them? Through education. I do a lot of what I call lunch and learn. So I educate staff and other medical groups that are just interested in learning about how to even just better communicate. So it starts just by that, by opening the door and making them aware of some really simple tools that they might benefit from that would help them in just their day-to-day conversations and work with other people. Then they start to realize, oh my gosh, there's a lot more to this that is causing my stress and frustration than I even realized, and they want to look into it further.
Now, you're talking about the staff members a lot, I assume, but what about the professionals in the practice, the doctors? are they feeling this stress too?
Yes.
Understand that
yes.
Things could be better in their facilities? How about that?
Yeah, they are. The clinical folks are sometimes the most challenging to get the attention on, if you will. because we, again, we are kind of bred and trained to be stoic and have the answers and stand up. And when the stress comes and the frustration and the snapping at others or things, they don't think that it's about them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so there we are as clinicians, one of the most challenging groups to get wrap our arms around and say, hey, let's take a look at this frustrating situation that you're dealing with and identify what tools and or systems that might be helpful. But many times they aren't even aware of that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you do. By the way, Judy has a great website. If you're intrigued by this, her website is called growstrongteams.com. growstrongteams.com. And Judy's last name is Cirillo. Judy, how do you begin helping a practice that brings you? And give me a picture of a typical kind of practice that you would be engaging with. How would you answer that?
Yes. So I'll typically either have an office administrator or the office manager or even one of the partners, if they're a clinical, they'll contact me and just, this happens most of the time, and they'll ask me how to deal with a difficult employee situation. And then they'll ask me, what do I do with this individual? And so the conversation commences there, and we'll have a discussion about finding out about what is going on, what are they needing, what are they seeing, what are they experiencing. So I get a lot of information about where they are right now. What's happening? What are they missing? What would have to happen for this particular scenario to be successful? And the conversation continues because you have to find out where your people are coming from. You have to understand what they really need and what they really want. And through conversations and discussions and establishing that type of relationship and connection, you develop trust. And then that relationship will continue so that they then start to say, this really isn't about this individual. It might be about me and how I'm handling that individual. So that then opens the door for further education, further discussion. And in all honesty, it's about developing a relationship with the individuals who you connect with, and that relationship leads to connection and trust.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. It's interesting because I assume you're working with relatively small teams. I mean, you're not going into a big Fortune 500 company that has 500 employees. You're going into a medical practice that may have, I mean, it could be rather small. It could be 6 or 7 people, but total. It could be more, but,
it could be.
How do you work with them? How do you start to get them comfortable with you so you can, in turn, help them? How do you begin?
Yeah. Once they connect with me, then I go in and I do quite a bit of discovery with them, and I coach them really through the conversation of, tell me more about why you even contacted me. Tell me more about what you have going on here that you feel needs to be resolved. So I really have to get a clear understanding about what their needs are and what their desires are and really what they consider to be successful and a successful outcome with the situation they're dealing with. So sometimes if I have, 20 or 30 employees, then I'll actually go in and do discovery sessions and interview each of the employees separately to find out where they are and where they want to go. So you want to find out really what makes your people tick and what's working in their mind and what's not. So that's where we start. And then I'll end up communicating closely with the individuals who contacted me and ask, and really we'll write a scope of workout together. So in other words, I don't have a blueprint template that I use. Each solution, and each proposal to work with the leaders and their teams is customized based on what, where they are, what they need, and what they want.
You know, as I listen to you, it seems that it hits me that what you're doing is not that dramatically different from what coaches do to go in and to help companies who might, you know, companies of large size or medium size, but in every other kind of business you can think of. But you're doing it in a healthcare situation. And does that make it different? Is it totally different, do you think, than what you would do if you went into a company that was, you know, like FedEx or a delivery company or, I don't know, a restaurant chain? How would you answer that? Are medical people, medical teams, are they in a totally different kind of category, do you think?
you ask a great question, Doug, because what we see is people are people. You know, and the ability to develop trust, relationships, connections, and thus have communication and conversation that is critical for development of that relationship and the team is no different because people are people. The hard part in healthcare is the mindset that of where we are. We're trained to think independently, make decisions independently, and not need help. And so the initial phase of helping people in healthcare realize that they're people too. You may be a clinician, but you're people too. And helping them to step back and say, gosh, it's okay for me to express this stress. It's okay for me to feel this way, even though technically, maybe I'm not supposed to be because I'm dealing with people in healthcare and patients and I need to be in charge of this organization, what have you. But they need to be able to step back and say, you know what, I'm just as vulnerable as anybody else. So that's the initial phase, is helping them to realize it's okay to feel this way.
You just mentioned the term patients. Do you ever talk to patients to see what kind of reaction or impression they're getting about those who work in the practice, or would that not be appropriate for you to do?
It only if they ask me to do that kind of thing, but generally it's not, because it's a HIPAA violation. But
right.
You bring up a really good point that I'd like to bring up, if I may. The people in healthcare who are actually actively seeing patients and clinicians, they actually feel like they can't communicate or handle or manage their staff. Yet these clinicians are outstanding clinicians. Why? They develop relationships and trust with the patients. They guide them. They give them tools to take care of themselves. They create that trust relationship connection down the road. They teach them how to remain better and become independent of them. Those are all qualities and characteristics of strong relationships that develop trust, unity, and cohesiveness. If we have those skills as clinicians, why can't we have those skills when we're leading our team? And that's what a big part of what I do is to help them acknowledge that they have the skills. How do they then craft and navigate through the challenges that get them where they need to go?
That's fascinating. You know, I'm prompted to ask you if it seems like this would be something that you would best do in person, but because of the pandemic lately, I assume you've been working virtually with clients. Does it work very well doing it virtually, or can you go back into the offices now? How about that?
You know, both. Really? I actually do a lot virtually. Most of my clients are not in Arizona. They're all over the nation. So
really?
All of my stuff is virtual. I do it by Zoom. I first started out coaching just on the phone, and it's like, I gotta see a face, you know.
Sure.
I miss being in the clinic and in the team in the room with the team. So I'm doing that more now as people call upon me, because I love that connection. You know, I just love seeing people's reaction and interacting that way. Those are things you miss on a Zoom call. But honestly, I've done workshops with other teams on the Zoom call too. It works. It's not as invigorating and rewarding, but it works.
Give me an idea. Give me one of your success stories. You've been doing this a while now, since you've sold your rehab, you know, practice. Talk to me about some group that you worked with that you think it made a big difference when it's all said and done. And I don't know how, typically how long you might work with a client. Would this be something that would go on for a couple of months or not necessarily take that long? How would you answer that?
It depends. Yes, it depends on what they need. But predominantly, when you're working with leaders, CEOs, leaders, managers, it usually start with coaching them on a one-to-one to bring them up to speed before you jump in with a team. You can do that, you know, at the same time, and it'll overlap. But predominantly, you're looking at working with leaders, maybe 4 to 6 months to get them up to speed, and then you start shifting it into the entire team. Because every team is different, I have leaders who have been I've been coaching for a couple of years just because they need a regular coach, and I meet with them monthly, so it could go on for a while. The teamwork can last, up to a year, depending on what they want to have accomplished. To answer, your first comment about a success, I had a small business owner in another state who was in just horrible disarray, and have been working with her. She has completely transformed her style from being dictatorial and transactional to transformative and interactional with her team. She's completely replaced every single team member over the course of a year. Oh, yeah. And her business is thriving. And she continues to say, it's all because of transforming my approach from a dictator to a leader, to understanding that I have vulnerabilities and I need to be transparent and I need to take care of my people. I mean, this is a huge success story for her. But it took a while to get her there, and that's because of the mindset we have as clinicians. But she has completely transformed herself. So not only do people grow and develop professionally, they do personally as well. So their whole life is involved. And so, yes, I spend a lot of time coaching, but I do consultative work as well, because they need to understand what business or what infrastructure and systems need to be in place in order for them to function. And
you're so,
so
right.
That's a big part of what I do.
And I guess you got a lot of this knowledge simply because of the fact that you had your own business for 40 years. You learned this, on the job yourself, didn't you? I mean, you had to, right?
Yeah, you have to. It really, you learn by making all the mistakes, and mistakes, you just pick up your bootstraps and you move forward. And I wanted to be able to help others with the same challenges I had, but learn to work through. So I was actually going through coaching school. I still have my last practice. So I really was out to say, these are tools and techniques that we need to have as clinicians and business owners if we want to continue to thrive and de-stress and develop our team and then help the business grow and flourish. But it's really about getting rid of the burnout and the stress and not carrying the burden on your shoulders all the time.
You say get rid of the burnout. In some businesses, and this would certainly hold true in healthcare practices, that can be tough to do. These people work long hours, especially with what is going on right now with COVID, the pandemic, and all of this stuff. Burnout, I guess burnout comes with the territory, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does. And, every business owner that sought me out to help them, their goal was to sell their practice because they wanted to get out. And none of them have done that because they have completely shifted and transformed. What they've been able to do is not be in the weeds all the time. Their employees are now more accountable. Their employees know what to expect. They are responsible. And the owners and or the managers are backing away from doing it all and instead now working more on the business with less stress. But every one of them wanted to sell. None of them have sold because they've transformed their mindset, their function, their purpose, and developed team culture that is sustainable.
Well, that's remarkable. I mean, that really is remarkable. Good for you.
It was.
You know, I know,
yeah,
among other things, too, you do team. You work with group workshops. Talk a little bit about that for a moment. How does that work? And is that pretty helpful?
It's really helpful. You know, one of the things that's so important when owners want to shift, transform, or rebrand the culture in their team, the first thing you have to do is set a foundation. You have to get everybody on the same page. And so I've have found that the facilitative interactive workshops that I do help bring that messaging to everyone. Everyone talks about, we talk about relationships. We talk about conversations and why conversations are the backbone to your culture. And how do you have a conversation? How do you have a crucial conversation? What is trust? What really is trust? So I do a trust assessment with the team, and we talk about that because everyone needs to be, first of all, learn that it's okay to be open and honest with each other, and it creates a safe place, a safe environment, which then feeds the trust. That's where you start, because people aren't on the same page. You can't bring this to them and shove it down their throat. They'll push back.
How do you do a trust assessment? That sounds like a real challenge. Is it?
It's a lot of fun. I present the material on the different 5 steps that are necessary to develop trust, and then I have an assessment that they rate themselves about trusting others and trusting in the team, and then they all talk about it amongst themselves. So they develop, and it's really for the team, trust in the team, but they share that with each other and where they feel like they need to go in order to develop more trust. You see, the difference between trust and distrust really occurs neurophysiologically, and I could get into a whole other topic there. But when people understand, especially in healthcare, because they can relate to the science, that there is actually neuroscience behind the feelings of distrust, frustration, anger, and how they can shift from distrust to trust in the brain, that will completely shift the neurochemicals and the impact that we have on ourselves and others around us. It's just cool stuff.
Boy, that sounds amazing. Well, look, you're going to have a chance to be able to talk about that maybe, because you're coming back again next week at the same time. Am I right on that? I think I'm right on that.
Yes, you are right.
I think that's great. Judy, you're a fabulous guest. Judy Cirillo has been our guest. Let me give you her website, by the way, folks. It's really important. It's growstrongteams.com. Growstrongteams.com. Judy specializes in the healthcare field. But, you know, I'll bet, Judy, you could do this in other fields as well and be just as successful. I'd be willing to bet on that. But, of course, your background, healthcare is exactly where you fit in best at the moment, because that's been your history. Listen, thank you so much. It's been great having you as a guest, and we look forward to your coming back again next week, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
You are very well. Judy Cirillo, for the first time ever on radio worldwide, you've been fabulous. Thank you so much, my dear. It's been great having you here, and we look forward to your return next week, okay?
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it.
Okie dokes. Thank you so much. Oh, that'll do it for today. I meant to ask Judy if there are many other coaches like her, and that's a subject we can talk about next week, because, you know, there are coaches who will help you in every aspect of your life, but I've never talked to a healthcare leadership coach before. I found her really fascinating. And if you're in a healthcare office, you may want to suggest you're looking up her website to your bosses, growstrongerteams.com. Makes a lot of sense. Listening to a broadcast from Close Up
Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
We sure do. That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Until then, take care. Bye.